Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast. Cousin Sal coming to you with his dear, dear, much, much older friend, Dave Damashek. Dave, happy birthday weekend. My God, did you live it up? I mean, a 58's a tough one, right? It's kind of right. It's not 60, but it's not 50. That's for sure.
I think we got a bat 58. Yeah, right. No, well, it's close enough. Close enough. Yeah, it's dark times, whatever, Sal. We're on the wrong side of these things, and I do lump you in with me and no one else. It's sad times. What are we going to do? What are we to do? Ignore it? Are we to pretend that we're younger men? We're only tricking ourselves with that because no one with a pair of eyeballs or even one eyeball would be tricked by that. Yeah, to answer your question, it was a grand weekend nice. filled with cheese. My, you know how like it's kind of a curse. Like you don't want to be known too much for just one thing. Like if you're a cat lady. Yeah. On your birthday, everybody gives you cat-related stuff. Like, oh, look, I got you a mug with this kitty hanging from a tree limb. And you're like, all right, that's the only thing I ever get is cat-related gifts.
You're getting cheese now, you're saying?
The only people who I really have interacted with face-to-face on a consistent basis the last 15 months are my four kids and Beth. And they put their heads together and they're like, how best to celebrate this old fool? And they came up with, it was within the house, a scavenger hunt for, this is true. A charcuterie inspired scavenger hunt. And I had to go all over the house and find meats and cheeses all over the house.
Isn't
and
that
I'm
how
like,
you
what
catch-
the hell? This is me. when you see this old fool who I'm the first to admit. Track record of achievement on the big blue marble, you know, probably 2/3 of my way through my time here on the planet Earth, you know, sketchy at best, but that's what it boils down. The people who know me best, what they think of is like, just get him a bunch of cheese. He'll be happy. And that's the way my birthday weekend went. It was
well,
great.
I like that your gift is now similar to the same way one would try to catch a rodent. Or solve an infestation problem, right? Just set cheese around the house, a nice little trap, and we'll get them. Don't worry, we'll get them eventually.
Oh, I got more great news here on my birthday. Just past my birthday weekend, Beth, the wife, was she had to go get something because we were at the beach and had to get something out of the car, and she said, "You need to check under the hood of your car. I think you have a rodent infestation there." And I said, "Why? Well, that's not a thing, is it?" And I laughed and she said, no, you can get that. And I went and I popped the hood of my car and there indeed were rodent poops on sitting on top of my engine. It's great times all the way around. Now, listen, everything's coming up Damashek.
I was praying that you were going to say, "Oh, Beth," and that she located the trophy, our long lost fantasy trophy, was under the hood. I think it would get pretty crowded in there somehow, but a rodent problem is better, yeah. I think. Wow, that's pretty great. Also, pretty great. NBA now down to 3 series because last night Denver ousted Phoenix, sweeps them. Yes, Jokic was ejected. Was it warranted? It was a hard swipe on Cameron Payne. I feel like this is all intent, right? These things have to all be looked at through the prism of intent, right? Because it's if you pat the guy on the ass and he loses his balance and ends up in the front row and bangs his head on the camera and is out for the game, you shouldn't be kicked out for that. But, you know, if you're swiping at his head with the intent to injure, yes, you should be tossed. But I don't know that was the case. I don't think it was an intent to injure. I think it was a hard foul. I think we've seen harder fouls. Now, the melee with Devin Booker might have added to it. And they're like, well, this has to be a flagrant too. But pretty harsh to throw the MVP out of that series and really put an end to it. They might have lost that game anyway. They probably were going to. But this left no doubt.
Yeah, it is kind of like ever have a nervous flyer next to you on the plane and they say, and good piece of advice is look at the flight attendants. Are they nervous? Do they seem freaked out? I'm not talking about somebody trying to take over the cockpit, which apparently is a new thing in 2021. But when it gets jagged up in the air, like, oh my God, are we all right? Look at the flight attendants. Are they freaking out? No, then okay, we're good. Right. The reaction from the Suns surprised me. There was nothing about Jokic swiping at the ball. It's not as though he didn't hit the ball in the attempt to do it. It was maybe a little violent or whatever, but he still hit the ball. But it was a reaction by the Suns. Why are you guys so upset about it? You know, he just went at the ball there. That was a little bit of a tip to me that, wow, maybe it is a little more aggressive. Either way, though, you throw him out of the game? The MVP of the league, I know that you shouldn't look at the jersey number or otherwise, but the MVP of the league with his team about to be eliminated, you're kicking him out of the game? Loco.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
You know what else it does? It kind of, you know, and Todd Furman always tells, I'll show free throw disparity stats for when the Bucks in game 3 versus the Nets, and we'll get to that series in a minute. But yeah, there's home cooking. The refs wanted, refs in the leagues, nobody, I'm hosting a TV show that's, you know, funded by these leagues. And like, oh, shut up about it. I was like, yeah, well, it's true. They want these series to go longer. This flies in the face of that, right? This kind of does. Like, you don't throw out the MVP if you're kind of leaning one way and you want these series to extend. So this is the first example I've seen of that in a long, long time, right?
Yeah, maybe good it is point about
maybe
that
it too. Is a lazy narrative to say that, well, all right, they just want these series to go as long as they can.
I get, that's a weird note too, right? The profile of the guy, and you're sitting him down in a game that probably TBS or TNT is kind of like, dang, it's a elimination game already. We're playing for a sweep, and now you're kicking out the MVP. Weird move. I mean, I don't know what's to be said about it, except that, as I said, 3-4 weeks ago, the bummer is that Jamal Murray was really the canary in the coal mine for this all-time weird NBA postseason, which, as far as I'm concerned, there's some fun storylines. It's great to see these long-suffering fan bases and their teams going deep in the playoffs. But, man, the injuries have undermined it. You know, Jamal Murray, if he doesn't get hurt, I really do think now. Everybody, Anthony Davis goes down for the layup. But if Jamal Murray is in there right now, do you think the Nuggets survive the West? I think maybe they do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a lot on his shoulders. It does seem like every team has now 2 or 3 stars, so that would give them 2 that are set. You know, it all depends if he has like a Dame Lillard type 3 straight games kind of thing. But, yeah, I don't think that Phoenix would sweep Denver. I don't think they'd win 7 in a row playoff-wise. But now they're plus 145 to win the West. Our very own Harry and Gina Paradiso took them to win the West. Phoenix, I think Gina had them at 16-1. Harry took them at 21-1. I don't imagine either of them had an actual dime on them. I can't really speak for Gina. I'm pretty sure Harry didn't bet the Suns to win the West, but Harry does have it in our futures draft. Yes, all the Extra Points talent is on this futures draft. You can catch it on at extrapoints.com/draft. He does have them at 21-1. Clippers are plus 320, Jazz plus 110. That's fun from the West. Do you, is there value in the Clippers at plus 320? Otherwise, I don't know. But plus 110 for the Jazz and 145 for the Suns seems like game to game if those two were to meet up.
Yeah, I agree with you about that. Obviously, this is the big swing game upcoming. If the Clips win this one, then I'll feel good about my Clips win the series bet. But, you know, you get at 3-1. I think we can assume that Kawhi ain't going to lead them back from that deficit. But
that would be tough in Utah. Yeah. Utah's up 2-1 on Clippers. Clippers -5 tonight. We'll get to that. I think we may have a pick in there somewhere. Clippers -5. They look good over the weekend. All the stars scored. Playoff P is back, it seems. 27, 31 for Kawhi, 27 for George, I think. Utah now -184. For the series, if you like the Clippers to make this comeback, it's plus 154 on FanDuel. But in the East, that's where it's getting interesting here. At least one of the series. Bucks, even the series yesterday, Shaq. Kyrie leaves with a sprained ankle, and now the big three is the big one. There's only Durant left. And I couldn't believe, I don't know why I didn't check till this morning, the Bucks are favored in game 5 in Brooklyn.
Sure. Bucks. Of course.
I don't know why.
Why are we
2.5
within the game? You're even watching the game on Sunday, and they, you know, I guess you can't constantly stop down to be like, now, of course, with Kyrie out and Harden already out, you can't do that every trip up and down the court. But it you do need that context when you talk about the Bucks. Like, who thought the Bucks were going to even this series? Like, as they're watching the game, the play-by-play guy, they're like, well, if you would have told me that two out of the three weren't going to be in the game, I might have said the Bucks were gonna do that. I really do find it kind of unsatisfying. And I kind of, even before Kyrie went down, and my assumption being that Harden will be ready to go for the Eastern Conference
Finals. He has to be ready for the finals. So you're saying they win. I think he has to come back this series. What is he going to do? He went to such great lengths to get on this team. I mean, he must have texted 15, 20 players and the front office people before he made this. I mean, a lot of hard work for nothing. He's going to sit out the end of this series, but
I know. I'm somebody who once threw my back out for 6 weeks with a sneeze. So who am I to talk about these things? But they do say like that the hamstring, for whatever reason, is very touchy. That if you make one bad stride there, you make it worse. So I guess I get that, but I really do, as convinced as I've been for 4 or 5 months now, that as constituted, who's real? What are we talking about? You're going to a team, whatever deficiencies they have. If you have three of the top 20 best scorers in the history of the sport on the floor at the same time, who's going to beat them? I really have started to allow myself to consider, what would that team do? Even if you have all three of those guys out there, what are you doing to stop Embiid and company on the interior? The stylistic matchup is so vast. The difference in those stylistic matchups. I really would like to see them at full power, the Nets, against the full power Sixers, and see what wins out there.
It'd be fun.
Nobody can stay healthy. Right. Yeah. I think Embiid's now going to the finals, and there's just no answer with him. Ultimately, at least the Hawks have some bodies to throw at him. What do the Nets have? There's no...
Right.
If they should get through this series, and for that matter, the Bucks too. I think Embiid, if he can just stay healthy, which is the anomaly here in these playoffs, if Embiid can stay healthy, that team gets to the finals.
Sixers up 2-1 on the Hawks. They play tonight. Sixers -3 on the road, -770 for the series. Wow. Remember when the Hawks were up 1-0? We're like, oh, that's over. Remember when the Nets were up 2-0, like that's over. 770 if you like the Sixers. One more thing though about that Bucks game 4, that was maybe the fishiest line in terms of all my idiot friends were all over the Nets. We say, you know, the Bucks are a 2.5-point favorite. The Nets were a 2.5-point favorite in Milwaukee yesterday, based on the fact that nobody can make a shot in game 3. It was a game that Milwaukee had to have, and they gave Brooklyn every single opportunity to win that game. And so, like, okay, we're making the Nets favored. The Bucks stink. They scored, this is one of my favorite stats, they scored 86 in consecutive games, games 2 and 3. One of the games they won by 3, one of them they lost by 39. So that was the Bucks. I'm like, okay, they just don't stand up to the Nets. Everybody and their mother had the Nets -2.5. And now the Bucks win it. And now we're seeing a kind of a similar thing, right? The Bucks now are on the road. This is all of a sudden the most fascinating series of all. We just hope that anybody could stay healthy.
I like the bet that Middleton was going to bounce back because he is a consistently great scorer. And so the anomaly was him falling on his face early on. Sorry to be glass half empty. The thing that's bad is for the Bucks is like Spaghetti's Irish pal with the bloody eye. He's going to continue to be a linchpin to Bucks success. I don't think so. Like the assumption that he's going to shoot the lights out for two more games or two more Bucks victories is overly optimistic as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
But then again, who knows? I mean, listen, if there's ever been a top-heavy team in NBA history with a chance to win the title, it is these Nets. And if two out of the three are down, then what are we talking about? Of course, even Kevin Durant shouldn't be able to push back at a good Bucks team. But then again, what if he does? What if finally?
All right, we can't analyze every single side of this. I know. He was 9 for 25. I do expect him to bounce back. But I was surprised to see -2.5 either way. But what we can do, we can't do the then yet again. we have to now designate our Crown Royal crown on the court winner. Yes, it's very exciting. Every week we do this. Crown Royal believes being a Royal fan during the playoffs means staying safe, generously supporting your community, and drinking responsibly while rooting on your team. That's how to be a Crown on the Court. My Crown on the Court winner is the Phoenix Suns and Chris Paul specifically. Yes, 7 playoff games in a row. They were down, dead to rights, down 2-1 to the Lakers. They were 6-1 odds to win that series, down 2-1. Nobody wanted it. What did they do? They came back. All right, taking a little bit of advantage of an injured Lakers team, but whatever. Swept them from that point on. And then the Nuggets, they beat the defending champs, Shaq, and the MVP. Pretty good accomplishment there. Chris Paul, now talk of the top 3 to 5 point guards to ever play the game. You watch him in the last 6 or 7 games, and you could believe it. What are you thinking about that? And then I would love to hear your Crown on the Court winner. Top 3 to 5?
Yeah, that's will require at least a finals appearance for that. Again, now see, it's not a coincidence, everybody who likes to talk about stars going deep in the playoffs and whether that's relevant to how we regard them and what their legacy will be when they hang it all up. Of course it matters, and this will help Chris Paul's case as being one of those top 5 all time. The other thing that stands out is this is a guy who's been star-crossed with injury in springtime, in big spots with his teams, and here he is now in the conference finals in good health in 2021 when all the stars are down there, and that leads me to Joel Embiid. Consider now. I'm not trying to pee in the pitcher for anybody whose team that's still hanging around here, but consider. I wrote them down, as a matter of fact. Anthony Davis and Jamal Murray and James Harden and DeAndre Hunter and Kyrie Irving. That's really, I could go on and on, but in this year, the all-time apocalyptic, bizarre, all the stars are hurt, and who knows how things would shake out. Who are going to be the last two teams standing? What two stars are going to be left? Chris Paul and Joel Embiid. Embiid is going to be the one, the injury-prone center, is going to get his team to the finals. Now, as well, I find it remarkable the Sixers collectively, though. I don't just make it about Embiid. Their ability on the blocks to beat up even the Nets, even if they are now, as after a whole season of saying Nets, come on, what are we talking about? What would that team do, even if they are? I almost, if I were a Sixers fan, I would almost want the perfect health of the Nets just to see Embiid devastate that, because just as the Sixers won't be able to stop the Nets' big three, what ability does any team have to stop the interior of the Sixers at this point? All of a sudden, it feels like things, because the Hawks kind of are built to slow it down, and they've been able to do nothing with it since game 2 of the series. I think that continues. The Sixers survive this series, and in fact, they're going to get to the finals.
I feel bad. If we give Paul and Embiid these crowns, is it going to lead to an industry? Is it going to lead to an industry? No, but probably an injury. It'll fall off their heads. They'll trip on the crown, and then it'll be our fault that they're out.
Yeah, you're right about it. We should be careful. They could get a crick in their neck from the, from maybe the heavy we shouldn't crown. Do it. Keep it nice and light at least, yeah.
Hey, crown your game day this playoff season. Be sure to hydrate and drink responsibly. So that's NBA. Let's give our picks because, well, I have an NBA pick here, Shaq. And now you've not been very good at this. I know you give 3 picks out. It's a sneaky way to grab a win on -3, to give 3 picks out every Friday. Because you're probably going to go 1-2. So you do have a win in there. You have a couple wins in there. But for these purposes, on extra points, I think, and we could look back, I think you have 5 losers in a row at least, right? We do this Monday, then we do it again on Wednesday. I think I've won my last 2, and I want to make it 3 in a row with Paul George to have 3 or more 3-pointers. Have you seen these threes going down? There's a lot of talk about how these games are blowout. There haven't been too many great games, right? The Clippers played a few great ones. Denver played poor at one Dame against Jokic. But I think the fact that everyone's shooting more threes lends to bigger blowouts. Now, the other side of it is Utah can miss 16 in a row and then get back in it because they live and die by the 3. Anyway, 3 is the name of the game here. Playoff P, 3 or more threes is -118. He had 6 last game. He's gone over 3 or more in 4 of the last 7. He averaged 3.2 in the regular season. I don't even think they win today, Shaq. I think Utah wins the game, but it's not because playoff P is deficient from behind the line. I'm going three or more threes at minus 118. What is your pick? I think we have to fade check here. Fade check, everybody. What do you like?
I agree with fade check. Listen, although I did get the Sixers right, Sal, just for the record. I did get the Sixers right in my most recent minus three pick, but that's neither here nor there, as you point out here. I've been ice cold. And in fact, on minus three, I wore a ski hat, even in sweltering Los Angeles here in June, summertime.
I thought that was a shot at spaghetti until I heard you explain it. I didn't know what that was.
Tank top spaghetti. I should wear a headband. Listen, thank you for bringing that to light. I'm not going to hide from it. I have to wear it. That's what you do when you're a leader of men. You've got to sit in the hot seat and confront it. So listen, I disagree with you, by the way. I think all of a sudden we're seeing playoff Kawhi start to rise up. And when that happens, he really does get borderline unstoppable. There's whatever Spider Mitchell and otherwise. I disagree with you about the Clips, but that's not my official pick. I'm just planting that seed right now. What do I do here now, Sal? I'm going to look back to the ice here now.
Oh.
I know that the Islanders won on Sunday, and they
yes,
won
they
it
did.
In classic Islanders fashion, the way they do things. I think the Lightning are not only going to win this series, Sal, I think the Lightning are going to win four straight here. Just like you just said, like, oh, remember when the Hawks won game one? Remember, all right, yeah, I do remember that. I also remember when the Islanders won game one.
This
I
is think such a bitter based
it
on
is not
just
a bitter
you hate
anything.
The team
it is
and
not.
That's it there. That's all. That's all it is, right? That's all you got.
I kind of out of spite.
A spiteful pick.
Hope Gary Bettman in the NHL get the Islanders and Habs as the final. That's what they deserve.
What do they deserve? What are you saying they deserve? They deserve getting the team who scored more goals in the playoffs than anyone else? I think people like goals. You think a goaltender who prevents goals from being scored? Like, what don't you like about the style? Why are they not excited? Because they don't have your favorite player on the team. What don't you like about the Islanders' style? They score and they prevent goals.
I don't have the solution for you, but it's just bad. At least Adam Silver can say, like, what was I going to do? Everybody got hurt this spring. Well, I can't control how many guys get hurt. That's the NBA's excuse for this weirdo almost Final Four that we have here. I mean, it ain't right. It ain't right. This
you're a
not
purist.
Happen
you
in
should
any
like
other
Montreal.
Sport.
Montreal Islanders should be fine for you there as a purist. A lot of hockey history there.
I get it. The Blue Blanc et Rouge are steeped in Stanley Cups. Also, most of their Stanley Cups were won during the original six era when there were five other teams, three of which were garbage, had no chance of winning the cup. So those are the most fraudulent of all historical titles of all our major sports.
So what do you want to do?
What
do you want
to
do?
Except that
you
Nathan
go
McKinnon
Tampa
and
Bay?
Kale McCarr and Sidney Crosby and Geno Malkin and who are all out there are all it ain't right.
What happened? Did they get hurt
sport?
Or did
That's
they just not play
you.
Well? They just sucked, right? They didn't get hurt, right? They just sucked in the playoffs. Yeah.
Somehow I'm just I don't have the answer. I'm not saying it's
there's no answer. This is great hockey. This is fun.
It's not great. That would it have been great if the Super Bowl didn't have Mahomes v. Brady? I mean, like somehow.
Well, did you get mad that Mahomes, the offensive line, was allowing Mahomes to scramble? Like, oh, this isn't good play. This isn't good football. Like, I don't know. What team's trying harder? I don't know what to tell you.
This is just, as somebody who told you, Sal, 7 months ago, how excited I was for the NHL season. And everybody poo-pooed it. Oh, it's going to be boring. Same team playing the same handful of teams over and over and over and over again. I found it delightful. And I'm not saying retroactively because my team ended up winning its division. I enjoyed it all the way through.
Well, it's really fine, but you have to recognize that, okay, I'm giving myself a false sense of I love what's going on here because it's not going to reflect itself.
If you could have picked the teams, and that's not how it works. Well, college football playoff, we can have that conversation at some point soon too. If you could hand pick it, you know what I always say, I believe in merit. And if you put the first place teams from the four hockey divisions in a Final Four and did away with nonsense of fourth place teams. Sure. If you just put the first place teams in there, you would have had some of the most splendid, memorable puck in the history of puck.
And that's instead, fine.
Now we're watching.
That's fine.
I'm bummed out from because it's a borderline sport, and I'd like to see it break through on a larger scale. And
well,
it never
then
is
your
going
star
to,
should
as long
step
as
up. I don't know what to say. If I would love to see the big three play, unless you were going to tell me Harden was going to score 3 points and then 6 points and then 4 points in three straight games. Like, if Malkin's going to put up a -5, they're going to score every time he's on the
ice. I get
ice,
it.
The other
I'm just
team.
Lamenting. Here's all I'm saying. Final thing about it.
The okay, so give
basketball
your lightning
matters.
Pick.
NBA
give your
matters.
Lightning pick, and then I'll love it because you've not won in a long,
basketball
long time.
Basketball matters. Basketball yeah. matters. NBA matters because of Bird v. Magic in big spots. Dr. J versus the Celts and Dr. J versus Magic in the early 80s. That was everything, and that's why the sport popped. We never got Lemieux Gretzky. The fact that we're not going to get McKinnon v. the Lightning, the depth of that team, and Sidney Crosby, the biggest star, and Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews. The fact we don't get any of that. We don't get any of that.
These
it's
guys
should have
been better. They should have
right,
played
been.
Better.
Right.
They should have played better.
Now, what's the right bet here, though, Sal? I think the Lightning are
well,
not going
to
win.
Well, the right bet is the Islanders now because you're about to take Tampa Bay. But
you're right.
You want Tampa Bay that's at 4-1 to sweep the next four.
That's
what
I said.
Plus 700. 7-1 odds. I mean, playing as well as they have, the Islanders, and the goaltending and everything else, and Barzal, and now Pulock is scored. Like, it's really just crazy how they're getting these wins. Another 30 saves for Varlamov. But I don't know. You like the Lightning at 7-1.
Well, the Lightning are better at literally every position. You could maybe make a case that top pair for the Islanders exceeds Victor Hedman and partner. But, I mean, the Lightning are superior in every regard.
Sure.
I think, like I say, they're going to win four straight. Is that the right way to bet it, though, Sal? Gambling 101, Professor Sal.
Well, I think they'll be favored in three of the next four games. Jump in here, Meatballs or Spaghetti, if you disagree. But they're favored. They're like a 180 favorite in game two.
Bad news, Sal.
If they go
Meatballs can't talk about it.
I know
he refuses to speak into a microphone on a podcast about his favorite team.
This has been working. He's going to be a hockey expert, but after the Stanley Cup, when it doesn't matter. But yes, he's keeping it all close to the vest, close to the Gordon's Fisherman jersey. There, I don't know, Spaghetti. I think odds wise, 7-1 makes sense because they'll be a favorite in at least two of the next four. So if you go 1 out of 2, 1 out of 2, 1 out of 2, 1 out of 2, you get 8-1, but you're not getting nearly as many because they're a big enough favorite. Go ahead, take your sweep odds.
Well, I mean, what you want, if you're right the smart way to bet this, if I am certain that the Lightning are going to win this series,
Islanders.
And it's a very particular, it's a particular thing to say the series win in five for Tampa Bay. That's a pretty, a very exact kind of a bet.
Yeah.
So if I do game to game and I did that, and even if it goes seven, the longer the odds get against the Lightning every game, right? Every time the Islanders win, the odds get longer for the Lightning to even win the next game. So you're probably right. So I should just bet the Lightning every game until the series is over.
I think so. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say they're done if they're down 2-0, 0-2, but and you have to lay a pretty penny here with the price, -178. Boy, it just seems like it's too much in these hockey games. But take the Lightning in five. I'm looking at the Islanders in five at 6-1 for almost as good odds. And the team just needs to win 3 out of 4 and not 4
straight.
Well,
the bet that I sort of took to that's a little bit tricky, you got to make sure you look for it on FanDuel a little bit in the drop downs there as you navigate the site. Make sure you're looking at the 60-minute line and the money line, because the goal and a half is kind of the standard. It's kind of the default bet to make there. And, of course, there are different and perhaps better ways to bet it.
There you go. All right, let's finish up hockey talk here tonight. And by the way, NHL, they can't get out of their own way. So you have two series left, right? You can't
now
play
you're
both
talking
of them?
My language, right? They can't get out of their own way.
Well, we can't see both series on the weekend. What the hell? What the Vegas won? Vegas won on Thursday. Am I right? They beat the Avs on Thursday. They can't play Saturday after the Clippers game. Why can't they showcase both series, the NHL? They can't start their series Saturday. It's a West Coast game. Start it during the Clippers game, and then to come back with Islanders Lightning up against Bucks Nets is stupid, too. I don't know.
There's just nothing ridiculous to like. There's no one to root for left. I get it. You guys are from that region, so good for you with the Islanders. But there's nothing to root for. It's all junk. No one in Canada could be happy that the fourth place bum team is now the one that survived that division. The Vegas, who could get behind a team that's existed for 3 minutes like
this? Listen,
and two and a half of those three minutes,
they've made it to the finals or as far. But anyway, tonight they're a minus 280. My God. Minus 280 favorite over the Canadiens. And just for the series, they're minus 460. That's as high as it gets this late. And even if like an opening round series, that would be high. But Knights minus 460 over the Canadiens. Have you seen this Knights goalie, though, Dave? He's pretty good.
I've heard about him. Yes.
Really good.
Good for the Flower. I'm happy for him. And a lot of people in Pittsburgh don't understand what happened there in the expansion draft. And people are like, why didn't they give up Matt Murray? Because based on tenure and everything, Matt Murray wasn't an option to give away the Flower.
Right.
The only way to go. They're still a mistake. I'm happy for that. I'm going to go with the Knights, and the only bet, the only thing to consider is, do they sweep them? Do they get them in five? This is the end of the road for the Habs, I got
to
think.
I guess so. I don't know. That's a weird division to try to navigate, and they just keep playing over their ability there.
What's crazy is, though, about that is, I said the Spaghetti and Hench, that before that, and in fact, within the second period of game six between the Knights and the Avs, you could get better odds to win the cup on the Avs, who were losing the game and needed to win the game and then win game seven to survive and get to a game seven to win the Stanley Cup, than you could get on the Habs or the Islanders, who were both free and clear and into the conference.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I thought that was crazy. Is there anything like that you can recall? I thought it was kind of like, this team needs to get to overtime and win the game and then win the next game to even, and they have better odds to win the Stanley Cup than two of the other three teams left standing.
Right, it now is bizarre. I do have something comparable, and I hate to ditch the hockey topic because I could talk about hockey for, what did we do, 20 minutes? Probably 5 minutes. But tennis. Now, this drives me crazy. I'm a complete degenerate when it comes to tennis. And it's really weird when, you know, the NFL slate starts on the West Coast 10 a.m., so you know what time to be awake. Tennis, Djokovic was supposed to start at 6 a.m. So if I want to bet this, unless I bet it the night before, which I did, I had every single parlay tied to Djokovic. All my Saturday parlays, all the basketball, all the what else was going on? Baseball. I had tied to Djokovic, so I had like three parlays remaining, and he was a minus 345 favorite over Tsitsipas. How do I say that? Why didn't I had it right? Tsitsipas.
Don't get too caught up in it. You'll never hear his name.
I know.
Again.
What the hell happened? I was saying it right all day yesterday. Anyway, Djokovic goes down two sets, so I take Tsitsipas minus 330. I was like, I got a hedge here. I'm an idiot, but he's minus 330. He's up two sets. Joker doesn't have it. And then what happens? Joker comes back. Now, listen to this. He's down two sets to 0, and he's 5-2 on.
Wow.
So, and he becomes the favorite. He's down two sets to 0. All right, he's about to close it to go to 2-1. He's still a full set down. He's still got 2.5 hours worth of work to do coming back, and he's the favorite. I'm like, you're not going to get me here. So I bet more on Joker. I live bet this match three times, Dave. And had I woken up 20 minutes after I did, I would not have hedged with Tsitsipas. I can't even say his name. But and I think instead of losing like $4,000, I lost like $2,500 just from the live bet. But it's insane, live betting.
This is why I've been pushing hard for a live betting stream, Sal. We go live on tennis every, you know. Okay, maybe not tennis. We'll choose different sports, but yes.
Tennis is fun with those rallies and everything. I will say FanDuel, and it has to be this way. I have a DirecTV feed, but FanDuel's live betting is a good 30 seconds ahead of what you're watching on TV, at least what I'm watching on my TV. So, like, I knew that Joker was up 15 love before he even served. to start the third set.
You know really?
I mean? It's very weird. I mean, they have to pay for the real feeds. We're watching. I don't know what we're watching, but there's at least a...
Wait, FanDuel is so powerful, they can bend the space-time continuum
that's
by 30
right.
seconds. They're
that's
that,
exactly
they're
right.
A little bit ahead of us.
In fact, they could probably tell you that the Lightning already lost in five, and you lost them. I don't know. We could check in with them, but
here's what I
we'll
think
see.
Is crazy. One, I think Djokovic is in the conversation for all-time superstar in his sport who you would never, if I said, like, I'm going to line up some of the greats in sports, pick out the one who does not look like he would be an all-time legend just based mm-hmm. on the way he looks. Djokovic does not look like he would be that guy. But okay. The other thing is, has any sport that you can think of, because I was talking with a guy who loves his tennis, Greg Rosenthal. He's also a football mm-hmm. Guru, but he loves his tennis. That's his passion. And I said, do you really buy that Federer and Nadal and the Joker, they're the three best in the history of men's tennis? And he said, yeah, it's hard to make a case against it if you look at, you know, titles and all that kind of stuff.
Would you say Sampras? Would you put Sampras up there?
I don't know. Well, that's really, you start to think about it. You think like, well, what about Mac? And we're like, oh yeah, just because we grew up with them doesn't mm-hmm. make them better than the guys we see. They don't have the length of success.
Right, that any physically, if you match them up. But are we talking physically, if we could go back in time and play them one-on-one at a tournament, or are we just talking accomplishments?
I guess my eyeball can't detect it. It doesn't have the nuance in tennis to say, like, oh, I think Borg would have hammered one, or Becker on grass. And by the way, that's another thing that's fascinating, that I'm fascinated by the dimensions of fields and courts and ice surface and everything else and the differences in them. I love that baseball has we don't celebrate enough. Like, the Green Monster is in the same sport mm-hmm. as Wrigley Field. Is it like there are different dimensions to different places, but clay versus grass makes that big a difference? Like, you just, oh yeah, he can't. Yeah. His thing is like, he can't win on one of the surfaces. It's a weird,
it is weird
thing. And they've adjusted it according to Greg Rosenthal so that the clay is faster, so that it does. See, this is what I'm talking about, Sal.
It is bizarre.
If you're in charge of a sport, you got to fix it so that the best players have the advantages. You're not trying to level the playing field. What you want is to heighten the greatness of players, not try to bring them back
down
to earth.
Yeah, well, I like that one tournament. I don't mind that Tiger Woods dominates Augusta for whatever stupid reason,
or
Nadal is on clay. I know. Look, I get it. I spent 20 minutes yesterday explaining to my youngest son, who's 33 years old, why it's a diamond and not a square in baseball. And we went through like six napkins that I was drawing on at lunch. And finally, I was like, you're an idiot. Stop with this question. It can't be a square. How could
it
be
a
square?
Wrong? Why is it? As a matter of fact, can I say something? I think just it is a square, and I've never considered it.
You got to tilt it a little bit, but imagine if it's a square. Just where's your starting point? If it's square, I'm not going over this.
What defines a square? It's equal. Four equal lines.
I know, but where do you start as a batter? Like, well, you got to have the angle so that you could round the base and all that stuff, right?
Just because I put a square on its point, one of its points, doesn't turn it into a diamond. It's still a square, friend. You know what? You got outsmarted this time.
You're not, but okay. I'm saying it's not a square in that you're immediate. When you hit the ball, you run immediately to the right. You can't do that. It has to be angular. The base pads.
You're a square. Oh, you're thinking that way. Now, let me tell you something. Is there ask you something? Is there any sport that you can think of that ever featured its three greatest at one time, the way tennis apparently has for the last, 10 years or so? If in fact, if we buy Federer, Nadal, Djokovic is the three best of all time, can any sport claim that? Brady, Mahomes, Rogers simultaneously?
Yeah, Bonds, it's tough.
Bonds, Griffey, like, nah, that doesn't work because Mays and Ruth and whoever else you would throw out there. I was trying to think about it. Lemieux, Gretzky.
Pollock, Barzal, Varlamov. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't know. First of all, Jennifer Capriati would kick the shit out of Serena Williams. I think you have to throw Serena in there if you're going. You're just dividing men and women, right? But you got a better case, I think, if you have Serena.
Oh
in
yeah,
there,
that's
you
good.
Talk about like 5 years ago, right?
I think maybe you're right. Yeah. If you go Graf, mm-hmm. Serena, and like Salas didn't get to that point. Oh, right?
All right. I'm just saying tennis player. I mean, you could say. No, Joker,
I mean, I'm talking about people
Federer
that play against each other that have to go head to head against one another.
Gotcha. I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Bird Magic. Jordan, but Jordan didn't that kind of work.
That's tough. LeBron and Jordan. If LeBron and Jordan are in your top three, that's a different era. Now you're talking. That's an interesting thing to think about. I'll tell you what does not compare. And Jim Cunningham, you were all over all this stuff. By the way, how are you watching this? I don't want you to go to jail. Well, maybe we do. Heel producer Jim Cunningham.
He'd do well in the joint.
He watches all these. I know he's not paying for these UFC 263s and Lamar Odom and all this other shit. What are you doing, Jim?
My neighbor orders all of them. I watch it through their window.
What a liar. He's all over on Twitter. He has a comment on every single Lamar Odom destroying Aaron Carter. He's over it. There was also a YouTube card.
I didn't watch that one. My neighbor didn't order it.
Nate Diaz, Leon Edwards was so much fun. Nate Diaz was a 16-1 live underdog. He didn't win, but what a valiant performance. And if you look at Edwards after the fight, he was gone. It's like, forget it. Don't even talk to this guy. Let's talk to Nate. He's so much more with it, even having lost what did he lose? The decision was like 49-45, right? On all three cards. But he is a lot of fun. He's been on Against All Odds before, but UFC is getting good. I wish you could be a bigger fan, Shaq.
I'll try to get into it. Why? Because it's my job. It won't make me happy doing it. Looking at those feet.
I just
don't like their feet. Like they're putting their feet on each other. Blah!
Well, because it's a relatively new sport. I say relatively new. I would say top three. There you go for UFC.
That's true. I like that your pal Teddy Atlas gets into it. As we've discussed, if you're a boxing guy, it feels like it's a betrayal of your the sweet science to embrace MMA. Right.
So I'm glad he pivoted. It was good. It was good to him. I felt it too. I love boxing, but if the best fight of the year is going to be Mayweather and one of the Pauls that I can't stand, or Lamar Odom against Aaron Carter, I mean, which former drug addict is going to succeed? I don't know. Boxing has turned its back on us a long time before we did that to them. What would you say, Jim Cunningham, the top three? By the way, Shaq, now that we're talking boxing, and if you want to talk heavyweights, Foreman, Ali, Frazier, right?
Foreman, Ali, Frazier, right. There you go.
That's nicely done. But now you don't have Tyson in there. Shit.
Well, and you also had in the,
earlier,
welter versus middleweight, but you did have at one point, you had Sugar Ray. Well, that wouldn't work because Sugar Ray Robinson would.
Then you got the other Sugar Ray, right? That's not in there.
But if you had Sugar Ray Leonard and Duran.
Yeah.
When you had those four going at each other, that's
as good as it gets right there.
That's the conversation that I love. I'm going to have to dig in on that one and figure out what eras would even compare. Elway, Marino, Favre.
It's too hard with quarterbacks.
Favre is too further back. But like you go 80s, Marino is in the league with. No, but then you had Staub.
Mahomes and Rodgers didn't play with Montana. You can't do it.
I'll say this, just position specific. When you had Bradshaw, Staubach, Tarkenton, at that moment in history, those are the three best quarterbacks in history.
They were later, a four-year sample size there.
I'm throwing one out there.
Jim, would you say UFC? Are there a three? I think we'd have to go by weight class, right? So I don't even know that you could do it now.
I'd have to think about it.
Adesanya's
you could
right up
think
there.
About it right now, but he's not going.
Capodel, Tito Ortiz.
Yeah, those guys. Maybe knock on your neighbor's door and see if they can figure it out. Major League Baseball. You know, we've done such a good job. You've done such a good job, Shaq. I didn't make it a condition. I didn't say, yes, you have to do this. But I said, hey, now that the Penguins are out, this is the longest time we'll have between Penguins getting ousted and the Steelers, kicking off their season, in which case Pittsburgh is not relevant, I don't think, for the next couple months. I said, why don't you take four podcasts off, 2 weeks off from talking about Pittsburgh sports And I don't want to get you. You've done a good job. You only have two more podcasts to go. Actually, you have 10 minutes left in this one and then one more on Wednesday. You should be able to do it. I just do want to mention the Pirates have a more and more embarrassing play, a gif yes. or highlight every single week. So
yes.
they've had three brutal ones. You know what? I don't even want to talk about it, though. Let's wait till next week because they'll have another one this week, right? And then we can talk about all five.
I got to say, since it's benefiting me here, I appreciate you making like an NHL referee and swallowing the whistle for the playoffs. Mm. But I think I'm 0-for. I think I've mentioned Pittsburgh sports in every podcast.
Really?
Technically, that I'm not supposed to be mentioning them on. So in other words, I was thinking about it. I got to look up Primanthes. On Good Belly or whatever it's called.
Look what I've done.
Gold Belly and send it to you because I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. But what I will say again is about it, we knew the Buccos were going to stink. So it's like, well, all right, well, I didn't have any hope for them doing otherwise.
This is why I'm saying this is a good spot in the calendar.
It's fine. Let's flip it and talk instead about what's going on with the Yankees. I mean, sweet Jesus, Sal. But we could talk about the Yankees. And the shame there. And that seems to be consuming the conversation up in your native neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And again, covering up. Always we think no one will ever. We grew up, Sal, talking about like, will anyone ever get 2,000 yards rushing in a season since OJ? And then finally Eric Dickerson did. And it was like, okay, so it happened. When these things finally fall, these allegedly unbeatable records fall, it's like, okay, so I guess we were wrong. It did happen. But what DeGrom's doing, we're not talking about enough. And I think also, it's not just the Yankees. Now we're all cynical because of whatever crap most pitchers are putting on the ball. But if the Metropolitans as an organization are being truthful, which it's pretty, it's not like Rafael Palmeiro didn't say like, don't accuse me. But if the Mets are coming out and saying, DeGrom is not one of these guys using the crap, I feel bad for the guy. I legitimately do. It's like, he's not doing anything wrong. And this is an all-time season, no matter what context, because Bob Gibson did 1.12 in the all-time pitchers era. And so if 2021 is another sweet spot for pitchers, it's still remarkable that he's allowing half a run a game.
I think it was 1.21 though for Gibson, but yeah.
No, it's 1.12.
Are you sure?
I'm almost positive.
I thought we were at the halfway point. I mean, it's no way to look at it, but Bob Gibson, ERA, I thought it was, all right, well, whatever. Well, DeGrom's at 0.56 now. He was at 0.62.
Which would make it exactly half of what Gibson finished with.
And six innings, one hit. It was like the seventh time he exited a game having allowed one hit after six innings or more. It was insane. 10 strikeouts, and I feel the same way, Shaq. I really do. I'm like, what is this? God damn, I hope he's not cheating. You listen to Garrett Cole in the interview, like, I don't know how to answer that question. Am I putting the sticky stuff on the ball? Really, I don't know how to answer.
Okay. I think you just did, Garrett.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
I think you just answered it.
Great job, PR department. I don't know what you're doing. But then I'm looking every day. I'm checking an article. And okay, what do we see about DeGrom's spin rate? Is it going up? I wish his spin rate would stay the same, right? Because he wouldn't get foolish enough to get caught with it. Now, I don't know. It's like you're in love with this. You met this woman. You're in love with her. And then I'm like, I don't want to find out she murdered her first husband. I just don't want it to be. And that's why I don't want to get too close to this DeGrom situation to find out he was cheating. Please let us just, whatever our eyes are watching, please let us enjoy it unfettered, right? I don't want any attachments. Yes. To the negative stuff. Wouldn't this just be great if he did?
Yes, it's, you know, it is. I just mentioned Bonds and Griffey, and Bonds pulls away from Griffey in terms of statistics, and probably 50 years and 200 years from now, baseball will be long gone by then, but let's say it still exists for the sake of this exercise. Bonds will be the one who's remembered because the context of era and what he took and what that other guy didn't take. But we all kind of feel, even though Ken Griffey Jr. is probably worth $200 million, you still kind of feel a little bit bad about him because we all assume he didn't do anything when all the other superstars were. And yet Jr. is still one of the all-time greats we've ever seen. But we feel like, what if he would have juiced? What would his numbers have been? That's how I feel about DeGrom. This stinks. They are relatively speaking, DeGrom's worth lots of money and he gets to play sports for a living. And so how bad are we going to feel for him? But I do feel now that this is all, we're all cynical about it because exactly like you say, a lot of the high-end pitchers are doing it. And in the midst of this, DeGrom is doing it clean.
Yeah.
I think.
Turns 33 this week.
He's that old?
He's that old. This is what I mean. They've squandered his career as a stupid team. It's 33. Like, right?
Get him on the juice.
He should have 270 wins by now. It's insanity. But
you're
he does,
so right.
The one stat that jumps out at everyone, and he, every week there's a new one, 4 earned runs, 5 runs batted in. Insane. And they took and our buddy Jeff Schwartz and I, we bet the over-under for the first 5 because you don't really want to depend on the Mets' bullpen. So you take the first 5. You know he's going to pitch the first 5, barring injury. The over-under in some of these games, who they feed? Musgrove and Snell. So the over-under on the last 2 games in the first 5 was 2.5. That's combined runs for both teams. So you get 2 walks, and then you got the home run, and it's over. And we went under, and DeGrom's RBIs is what killed us. It's like, that shouldn't count. Take him out of the lineup. It's not fair that we also have to count his RBIs, although they need those. They need those to win the game.
I love, wait, so you're betting now with, you're talking about the Twitter troll, Jeff Schwartz?
Oh, Jeff Schwartz. Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Guy who just bothers people on Twitter, on social media endlessly.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he
issuing
does.
Pictures from his manse.
I'm gonna get in the swimming pool and all weekend long because I got a lot of money and also
that's what he is, right? That's how he became famous. Twitter
yeah, I think
trolling.
That's how he did it. I think okay, that's good. How he did it. Good luck to him. We love Jeff Schwartz. What do you know, Jim? Tough. You have this Pirates clip ready? We might as well talk about it.
You're Why broken. Do we have to see this?
This is, I think, the least offensive of the 4 we've seen this week. But go ahead. All right, so one error on the shorts. Oh, you're looking at something different. What is this? Oh, this is
We can this do a whole montage.
This is the best. The first baseman runs the batter back to home. Could tag him, could tag first base, whatever he wants to do. He doesn't. Let's the run score. The original batter, they throw to first. No one's really covering, and the ball goes to the outfield. He gets the second base. That's the best one. That's the best one I've seen. And then there's Ke'Bryan Hayes, and he doesn't touch first, right? So you have 2 Pittsburgh Pirates in consecutive weeks for not touching first base, one defensively and one as a hitter, and they get screwed. That's a great one. And there's another one here, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Shortstop error. Okay, fine. Goes into the outfield.
All right.
He's content staying at first, really.
Hang
if you
in.
Look at
I got to hang in there. Oh, there
bounces it to second. It goes past. No one's anywhere backing up the shortstop. And Reyes gets to third. I don't know why he didn't just keep going. What's going to happen? Oh, this team.
Well, they have nice uniforms, one. And both teams do in the with the Brewers and Pirates. Listen, again, it's about expectation. I had none for this team except for this sort of foolishness out there. It's a humiliation. And the thing that I will say, with my head held high, you're not obligated just because the ownership group they hire a marketing department to say, hey, now's when we need you fans. If you're a longtime Buccos fan, you got to stand by the team now because the future is bright. Whatever organization in any sport that tries to play that game doesn't require you to actually listen to them. They're not trying. So why would I pay them any mind? They are an embarrassment. And I love what ifing all things in sports. Imagine if they would have allowed Pittsburgh native Mark Cuban to buy the team. Do you think MLB now regrets that decision of getting in the way? I think they did before he tried to buy the Cubs.
They probably
I think he
do.
Offered up. And the Nutting family now, it's an embarrassment, you know, and this is what you get. And I'm under no obligation to pay it any mind. So
well, there's a bigger danger to that than just not paying any mind. And that's Cuban didn't buy the team. The flip side is, and I wish I could take credit for this, but Joel Solomon, fellow Pittsburgh native or whatever you want to call him, brought this to my attention. Why wouldn't they move this team? Why doesn't Major League Baseball look into moving this team? Like, what have they done? You have a championship many, 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 many years ago, but what have they done? Well, think about the criteria. What's the criteria for moving a team? And forget, scrap your Bad News Bears uniforms aside. Like, what? I don't understand why they should get to stay.
Especially, I mean, what is Joel? Is he maybe like a secret agent? Because I've heard nothing positive. Fine, you can't be positive about the Pirates except about their uniforms. But I'm starting to think he's working on another side. He's on the take from the Ukraine, or I don't know who.
Maybe
he's always impugning Pittsburgh.
What are we talking about?
What am I supposed to say about that? Move the Pittsburgh Pirates, one of the tentpole franchises in the sport. They've been in Pittsburgh for
long time
140
ago.
Years. Now we're gonna move them. They have the best stadium in the sport. We're gonna move them to where are they going to? By the way, Portland. Where? I mean, come on.
Somewhere where fans care.
I'm not gonna indulge nonsense. You don't do that to the memory of Pop Stargell. You don't do it to 21 Clemente. You don't do it to the Cobra Dave Parker, even though he got fat and snorted the schmutz with the parrot in some dark times in the early 80s. You don't do any of it. Shame the devil.
I should have waited on this for Joel to be here to defend.
Who's he? You know what? I'll thank you to not bring him back. If all he can do is knock the banks of the Three Rivers and pee into them figuratively and for all I know, literally, who needs him? Screw it.
You know, he's going to have to defend himself. I don't know. There was a power outage somewhere. He predicted a power outage like Saturday and that he wouldn't be here. So I don't know what happened. He's not here. But anyway, listen, fall had the dream, Dave. Tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, Pirates playing in Portland. No. On FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences. FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. It only gets better from there. Check out FanDuel's new promo live every Tuesday, $5 Dinger Tuesdays. I like this. Place a $25 wager on any player to hit a home run on Tuesday. Get a $5 bonus. 25 or more, you get a $5 bonus in site credit for every home run hit in that game. Yes, max $25. I'll have one for you here. Matt Olson has 18 home runs for the A's. He had two on Sunday, and he faces Dylan Bundy, who has a 6+ ERA on Tuesday. Why not one more? Get to 19. Matt Olson, put $25. Put $5 on him. There you go. You get 25 there. You'll get $25 max. Something. You'll win money. Matt Olson's going to hit a home run. That's what I'm saying. Same game parlays. Everything going fast. Payouts has a reason. FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code Extra Points to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points.
Let me just say this quickly, Sal.
Sure.
You're turning your nose up for time's sake, but like Tony Conigliaro used to, like, you know, he cut the sleeves off his thing, like, so you could just see his arms. Right. You're doing that to our own Tony C or Tony Spaghetti. He is red hot with these Dinger Tuesday picks here. He keeps picking.
All right, Spaghetti, jump in here. Give us a Dinger Tuesday. It's important. I found out that the player needs to be suiting up on Tuesday, so his team has to actually be playing. Do you have
one of the Yankees? That's the only thing you could say. He just picks one of the
freaking
Yankees.
I wish I could enjoy this Yankees slide more, but I keep betting them every day, and they're down like 4-0 in the second inning every game. It's crazy.
They're a really bad team. Luckily, because they are bad, there's a guy named Miguel Andujar who's playing, has only around 100 at-bats this year. He's had a hit in almost every game in June. I think he has 5 home runs already in limited at-bats. So instead of going with a guy like Glaber or DJ LeMahieu, I want to go a little off the radar here with Miguel Andujar. We'll go yard, I think.
All right. That's fine.
You didn't get meatballs. So he continued his no-talker. Hit with the Islanders here. He's on quite a streak here.
Wait,
you
think
you'd
say,
be singing
songs about your team. I listened to Spaghetti and Meatballs, and he said, well, first of all, he said he was confident. He never lacks the confidence, right? Meatballs, I mean, there's no reason you would lack confidence now. Zach,
that is correct.
And you don't want to say Islanders in 5 or 6 or anything like that. He did say something indicating they would win. I'm trying to figure out what it was.
No, he demurred, which we took to mean he was guaranteeing a victory. He didn't say anything. He's now playing mind games with us, Sal. He's Jedi mind tricking us. We're putting it on him. Did I just hear Meatballs guarantee another series victory over the defending champion Lightning? He did.
This didn't work.
I
last
let the Islanders do the talking for me.
There you go. He doesn't like that.
All right. But but it is also, there's a live mic in front of you. You could talk into it about your team. That is whole idea of this thing. Yeah.
Listen, that's it. He's doing great. Keep it up, Meatballs. Why change anything? Spaghetti, you have to respect this, right? It's working.
I mean, we have a great our chemistry on Sweaty Meatballs is great. I get a lot out of him. Like I respect what he's doing. He doesn't want to jinx his team. He's, you know, Dave talks way too much about the teams he likes or dislikes, and Meatballs keeps it close to the vest, but he gives good points. I could work with it.
It's a nice
I don't
mix.
Make crazy predictions in the favor of my teams.
I mean, you made the craziest prediction of all time by saying the Lightning are going to win rattle off four straight.
Oh, good.
That's the craziest prediction of all time. The defending champ who have 10 players better than the best Islander.
That's
a crazy thing to say.
Why does everyone have such trouble scoring goals, but the Islanders can figure it out? It's very strange.
Because they shoot it, because I don't know how they figured it out. It's like a billiards champ who figures out all the angles. I'm going to bonk it off that defenseman's buttocks, and then it'll hit the other guy's skate and off the goalie's masking in. That's how half their goals come.
Yeah, sure. I think I don't agree with you, Spaghetti. I think the craziest prediction from Dave is that the Pirates are going to remain in Pittsburgh, and that team is long gone.
You know what's going to happen? The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win over 9 games.
There we go.
To talk about crazy is that anybody would set that number, and that more people would appear to be on under 9.
That's it. He didn't make it. He didn't make it 2 weeks.
Why don't we move the Steelers as well? Why don't we move them?
Spaghetti, jump in with a good point. What was the best point you heard today?
Oof. The Dave's bad point here really threw me for a loop. I'll say the best point. I'm going to go with – the Denver Nuggets with the Jamal Murray, if he was playing and healthy, I think they probably would have been the
there
team
you go,
from
Shaq.
Out of the West. Yeah.
All right. Wow.
Bad point is any point that hits Spaghetti in his exposed flesh because it got torched by the SoCal sun over the weekend.
We can't
good
see
idea.
Spaghetti.
Make sure you cover as little of your body as possible with your dumb tank top.
I just
you're a grown man running around in tank tops. No one wants to see it.
I don't see it. I just see the stock photo, this Getty image picture of Spaghetti.
Go ahead. Show the sunburn, Spaghetti.
What is it?
It's not good. My face is full of cream right now. It's pretty
gross. Oh, you got? Well, then now you got a show. What are you talking about?
It's more shiny than anything.
Okay.
All right.
We'll be the judge.
Let's see. I think Spaghetti put on 15 pounds of mass over the muscle.
Came out
over
from
the
Staten
too.
Island. I wanted to see SoCal summertime.
There you go. All right. You want to change your good point, Spaghetti? You don't have to compliment Dave anymore. Jim, what's the bad point?
The 5-minute rant following Dave's Lightning winning the next 4 was pretty rough.
It was hardly a Lightning point. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes into Basketball Matters. He names Bird, Magic, Dr. J. He doesn't say Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And then Sal, you congratulating Dave on not mentioning Pittsburgh athletes when he mentioned several during that crazy rant earlier.
I guess so. I don't know why. I still think we normally get 5 to 7 minutes more than we have been. But
dude, Yin's got Stockholm syndrome.
Listen.
Dude, you don't even know when I talk about Pittsburgh no more. I do it so much.
When the team moves from Pittsburgh to Omaha, there's not going to be any reason to talk about the Penguins or the any of these. Penguins should move too. There you go. There you go. You got -3 coming up, Sheck, twice this week, right? Against all odds. Sheck, jump on with us. I got to figure this out. I have something at Kimmel tomorrow, but jump on with us for Race to 10 Tuesday this week, and I will play for you for your birthday. I'll put it. We don't know who we're picking. There's only one game. It's only Bucks Nets because the Nuggets got swept, so that was going to be another game. But we're going to figure that out. Can you jump on with us? I think it's a 5:30 tip.
Count me in.
Okay.
I'm in.
That'll be fun. I'll play for you. And we're going to figure out someone else we're playing for, a civilian of sorts. That's always great. Race to 10 Tuesday. Me, Dave, the degenerate trifecta.
James Harden.
Do that tomorrow
night. He's just a civilian in street clothes like the
rest
of us now.
He'll be in there. Congratulations to you, Dave, on the birthday. Congratulations to Wasabi, the Pekingese dog that won the Westminster Dog Show. People are wondering why you don't have a dog of the year, Dave.
Well, a controversial position that I feel deep in my balls is I think it's very strange that, I mean, obviously, we don't want most creatures that are not human in our homes, and yet we welcome just a select few species to live amongst us. Mm-hmm. And I think it's especially weird. There's so much sorrow in the world already. You know, like, we're going to, sadly, spoiler alert, loved ones are going to die as we go through our time on the Big Blue Marble. Why do we bring in creatures that we downright, given a choice, would prefer that they die before us? We don't want that among our, we wouldn't want that among our fellow humans, but we bring a dog into that. You bring this creature and you're like, yeah, he brings joy, but also we hope he dies before us, because otherwise it would be a terrible tragedy. What are we doing to ourselves? Why are we welcoming more sorrow into our lives? You understand? That's why I
know that. And my oldest son, Archie, when we had to replace the dog that was with us for 15 years, he's like, no, I don't want to say goodbye to another dog. I don't want to fall in love with another. There, but then why would you have any relationship of any kind if that's the, if you're going to play defense like that?
Because I don't expect that. Like, if I were a 25 year old coxman and I found, the future Mrs. Damashek, and I decided we're going to forge our lives together. Mm-hmm. Then I would get divorced, and then I would do it again. But if I were to do that, the expectation would be that it would be the next 60 years together. I wouldn't be like, well, then she's going to die in 8 years.
So you're not going to pick a dog of the year? That's fine. You don't have to do it just now.
All right.
You picked the dog of the year. You picked the dog of the year.
I think my dog of the year is one that, because it's kind of like buying a Lamborghini or a Ferrari. Like, what goes through the head of the people who buy those ones that are the size of horses? Like, and there are a couple of different brands of these dogs. I don't understand the giant ones. Imagine living with one of those things. No, thank you.
I see people walking them, and it seems like such a hassle.
Not those. And not the slobbery ones either. But what we need is Fred Willard. Oh, the Dave's dog show makes me think of Fred Willard, and that's it.
He's the greatest. Dave's dog of the year is Lightning in 5. That's good. That's your dog of the year. Yes, extra points. Another one on Wednesday. We're going to have Against All Odds. Race to 10 Tuesday. Join us. Lemon Pepper Parlay. Betting Academy. All good stuff. And a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.